Hello, and welcome to Simple Man Sermons, the preachings of a simple man called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, today's sermon is going to be on grace. And grace is one of those words in the Christian community that just gets thrown around so much. Grace Church, Grace Fellowship, a lot of Christians even name their kids, their daughters Grace. And to be fair, it's a beautiful name. But it gets thrown around so much, perhaps it loses its meaning, or perhaps you don't even ever really contemplate what it actually means. It's kind of like the word holiness. Usually when you tell people, even Christians, what it means, they think it means something completely different. I think understanding words the way they're intended, what they actually mean, the etymology, where they come from, what they mean, is important, especially a word like grace that gets used so much. I mean, look at the letters of Paul. How often does he say, grace and peace be with you? So we'll dive into that today. And if you didn't listen to the last episode, it was on forgiveness. And you don't have to listen to that one to listen to this one, but I think it would pair nicely if you want to go back and listen to that one on forgiveness. I may reiterate some of the things we talked about last week. I normally quote a lot of scripture and verse, and there's so many on grace. I'll pick out a few. Literally, grace is talked about so much. I think that's why it's so important we understand what it is. And grace, so far as I understand it, being biblically correct, unmerited, unearned favor, a free gift, unwarranted, unmerited, undeserved favor by God. For as it is written, His ways are above our ways, His thoughts are above our thoughts. A lot of times when we forgive or we give somebody something, for their birthday, which is not a bad thing, I don't think, or it's because they won something, they get a trophy. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that, but that is not grace. I think it's put fairly succinctly in Romans chapter 11. Now, if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. It's not like a wage. It's not like you earned it and you deserve it, therefore you get it. It's not something that you earn. It's not something that you warrant or you merit by your own actions. It is a free, undeserved gift solely by God's divine and infinitely loving nature. A free gift from the Almighty Creator of the universe. Is that not something worth contemplating, being circumspect on, meditating on, and worth diving into to understand? I believe this is one of the great deceptions that lies with people today who might consider themselves a good person or even a Christian, but they don't really know the Bible. They don't really know the sound doctrine. They don't know the truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word manifested, the truth in a man. A lot of people will think they get to heaven by being a good person. That's one of the number one things I think you would get if you asked a survey of people if they were going to go to heaven and you asked why. They say, oh, I'm a good person. Wrong answer. That is not anywhere in the Bible. In fact, quite the opposite in the Bible. Nobody save Jesus Christ alone has ever been good enough to merit salvation by their works. For it is written, all have sinned. It can't be more clear than that. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It is also written, for the wages of sin is death. It is also written, if you transgress one point in the law, you are guilty of breaking the law. It is also written, sin is lawlessness. Think about all those things. If you've committed sin, you deserve death. Period. End of story. Full stop. If you believe in the sound doctrine, if you believe in the Bible, you will know that nobody can earn Nobody deserves getting to heaven by being a good person. You get in to heaven by the divine substitution of Jesus Christ. For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Again, 2 Corinthians. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For as it is put so clearly in Romans, while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. While you were yet without strength, not by your doing, not by your forcing, not by your labor. Again, we go back to, if it's of works, then it's not grace, and if it's grace, then it's not works. It is a free gift. Romans chapter 6, if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ? The divine substitution, that while you were dead in your trespasses and sins, God, who is rich in mercy, his own divine grace and forgiveness, chose to come down in the form of a man and take on your sin in his own body. Again, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It is also written, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus himself said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why that, if you asked that survey and you got that answer, that's wrong. If you think you're just going to get to heaven because you're a good person, that's not right. You don't get to measure what good is. God does. And when you break that, the wages of sin is death. Your only ticket to eternal life is getting pardoned, getting the divine substitution available to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace. The only man who lived a perfect life, who never sinned, decided to take your sins that you might be forgiven them. For it is written, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And grace is a beautiful word, but it's far, far more beautiful when you know what it means. When you know that you were forgiven freely by his grace, not because you deserved it, not because you earned it, not because you worked really hard, because he chose to forgive you, because he chose to send his son for your redemption. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Gospel of John, chapter 3. When you know how much God loves you, that he gave, he redeemed you, not with things like silver or gold, but with something truly precious and finite, the blood of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. That was the price for your sin. That's the good news, that your debt has been paid. Divine grace. This is Simple Man Sermons. That's a simple, powerful truth of the gospel. Christ died for you, not because you were good. He died for you when you didn't deserve it. He didn't die for you you were really, really good. He died for you because that was the only way you were going to get to heaven. That was the only way to beat death. The obvious question that a lot of people would ask then is, why doesn't everybody just get pardoned and get to heaven? And the answer to that is, I don't know why God does everything that he does. If I could fully comprehend God, that's just so far beyond my ability as a flawed human being, an all-wise, all-loving, all-infinite God. I don't often understand why he does the things that he does the way that he does them, but I know that he is all-knowing, and I trust him. I know about him because he tells us about himself. For it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. He said that while they were still both in the womb, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Let me read to you the word of God as written in Romans chapter 9. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have the power over the clay, from the same lump, to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us who he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who is not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they shall be called sons of the living God. I don't know. I do know that I did not grow up a Christian. I certainly do know that I turned my back on God and sinned greatly when I was younger. I certainly know that I don't deserve forgiveness. I certainly know that I don't deserve it by my own merit. That's what makes my God so beautiful and so wonderful. It's not about me. It's about him. Not about what I've done. It's what Jesus Christ did. It's not about me. It's about him. The Bible, it's not about me. It's about God. It's not my story. It's his story. The main focus of your life should not be you. It should be God. I love God. I am in love with God because he is so good to me, because I didn't deserve it. He freely forgave all my debt, a debt I could never hope to pay on my own. No matter what I did, no matter what I tried to atone for, nothing could pay that debt in my own merit, on my own ways. I would never, ever be good enough. While I was yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for me. I know that some are called and some are not, because God says so. Why he chose me? Again, grace. He chose me because he chose me. That is for God to know. It's for me to be thankful. For me to preach the word and hope that everybody is to be saved, knowing that God has already predestined some and not others. But I don't know who that is. So I'm telling you, you will not get to heaven by being a good person. You will get to heaven by God's divine grace. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. If you're not called, this message will likely be foolishness to you. But if you are called, this message, I'm not just talking about this sermon, I'm talking about the good news of the gospel, the declaration of victory, the good news. It is the wisdom of God and the power of God. It's like you're in a sea of hopelessness being tossed around, and somebody's offering you a life preserver. All you have to do is reach out and cling to it with everything you have. If you have to lose everything, leave everything else behind on that sinking ship that is this world, you grab on as hard as you can. That's Jesus Christ. He's your only way out. He's your only hope to beat death. It's a simple, powerful truth of the gospel. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We are offered a free gift. Here's a funny thing about a gift, though. You have to accept it. You have to take it. What if somebody offered you a winning lottery ticket? You're like, that's not real. It is real. You have to accept it. You have to believe it and cash it in. You have to believe the gift and accept the gift. A lot of times we disqualify ourselves as people because Satan will come in and use you and turn you away and keep hammering in that you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. And he's right. You don't deserve it. It's a free gift. It's so simple that you make it overcomplicated. It's so simple that you put a bunch of other crap in. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do this. All you have to do is accept it. It's a free gift. It is by definition grace, unmerited, unearned favor, a divine forgiveness and pardon from the creator of the universe. With that, thank you for listening to Simple Man Sermons, and have a blessed day.